Amen. So this morning, we're going to be talking about under construction. This is part two. Check back with our church later, please. If you're not happy with where we're at, just wait. If you're not happy where we're at, just wait. Some awesome things are getting ready to happen. Now, we got to understand this. All the way up to the time that Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to be working on you. He's going to be working on me. He's going to be working on the church. Because you know what? We are the church. We're the church. We are who Jesus Christ came and died for. And that's how much he loved us, right? So we also have, right now, we have a building under construction. We're a little bit older building, and because we're a little older building, stuff at times needs to be touched up. I'm going to go down memory lane for a minute. How many of you remember years ago when we had the Taj Mahal? Before this building, we had a building that went down. We called it the Taj Mahal because it got a little extra money spent on it. And when they first built that thing, they actually put a door on it. And you know, sometimes when they do the sheets of the door, it's two pieces put together. And so the door looked like the devil. How many remembers that? Yeah. And so what happened is someone told Brother Billy, you know, the doors out there look like devil doors. And Brother Billy said, oh, don't worry about it. People won't be saying nothing about it in a couple weeks. Well, more and more people started looking at it. People was driving from Bakersfield to look at the devil doors. So Brother Billy finally said, you go out there and paint those doors. But know this, because at that time the church was growing in just incredible ways, in leaps and bounds. And anytime you do anything good for the kingdom of God, the enemy's always going to hit with everything he's got. If you're doing something good for the kingdom of God, the enemy's going to hit and try to say, you know what, you're a mess. He's going to have other people talk about you. But if people are talking about you, know they talked about Jesus. Jesus said there would be persecution. So we did that. And then when I first got here, down to the children's wing down here, all the way down at the end, I don't know if you've ever been down there, but at the very end, we have a 132-seat children's auditorium down at the end down there. It's really nice. But when I first got here, because there was so many pastors going through and finances was really tight, the way they did the walls is they just took a black felt pen and drew pictures on the walls. And when I got here, I said, let's begin to dream. So we pulled the team together, started talking to them. And then we came up what was the castle room for years down there. It had a moat in it, a moat. It had some really cool pieces that we made out of foam and painted to look like bricks up on the top of one of the walls. So we did a lot of work out there. And then about 2 years ago, we remodeled again because stuff needs to be what? Updated, freshened up, right? When the moat looks like the paint's coming off the moat and the moat looks like a trash can, it's time to change it. And so we did that, and so we went up to the nursery, and it was kind of funny. When we got up here, the nursery, someone had just painted some big dots on the walls. And some of the dots were actually paint spilled and got on the floor, so we had a couple of dots on the floor. And I don't know if you remember that, but we used to be able to get the inmates here once in a while. So the inmates came, and how many of you ever heard of VeggieTales? Raise your hand really high if you've heard of VeggieTales. It's a little Christian cartoon characters. It's got asparagus, and it's got Bob the tomato. It's got all these really cool things that kids love. And so we had the whole nursery painted in VeggieTales, and it was so sharp looking. Then a few years later, we went across the street, and we started doing the youth room, and we completely redid all the paint. They had some black paint on the walls with some shots of other stuff, and for the time, it was good, but it needed freshening up. Right? And so now we're here and we're working like crazy people. Yesterday there was so many people working. A lot of us in the kitchen trying to work at the same time. And every time you walk by somebody, you had to say, excuse me for a second. Some were out here working. We had this place so wiped out over this last week that at 1 o'clock we started cleaning up. It took until 5:30 to get this place cleaned back up so we could have church today. Didn't it look nice in here today? If you would have seen it before, you say, oh, yes, it is. We had stuff everywhere. But see, we got to understand this. Just as God is working on us and working on things, there's times we have to work on our buildings, right? Here's why. People check us out. When a guest or visitor comes into the house, they look around. Let me explain it this way. Years ago, we were living in Mena, Arkansas, and all the hospital visits was taking place in Fort Smith, an hour and a half away. Highway 71 is a little highway that runs all the way up there, and every little town has its own gas station. And a lot of little gas stations was very dilapidated. They had fallen down and didn't look very good. And then someone would put a new one in, and you know where everybody went to? The new one. It looked sharp. It looked nice. I think we're getting a little ring on this microphone. It's not a diamond ring. I couldn't afford one of those, but a little ring. But the last time we was back there just a couple months back for a good friend of mine's funeral. But we noticed that there's these new gas stations. Someone had bought a bunch of these old gas stations and repaired them, and they're all brand new, and they look sharp. And you want to go in that. See, the gas station can sell the same exact products, but where do you go? You go to the one that looks cleaner, right? The one that looks newer. Just happened. So people come here to New Hope and they check us out, and that's okay. Because when they come to check us out, they're going to hear the gospel message that Jesus is alive and well. And he didn't come back in 1988. Oh, you guys, that shirt you got me, I'm going to wear that one of these Sundays. Going to have to wash it in hot water so it'll shrink just a little bit. So as we begin to work, as we begin to freshen up, as we begin to do some things, it's going to help attract. But let me say this. You know what attracts people more than anything else? Kindness. Kindness. You can go to a nice place, and if everybody's rude there, they don't want to come back. But if people are kind, people are nice, and I'm going to brag on everybody that's been working this week. You get a lot of people working in one area and working for a long time, and people can get snappy. We didn't have no one getting snappy. Everyone was working in harmony, working well together. Thank you, Jesus. It's exciting when people's doing stuff and they're smiling and having a good time, right? That was one of the most exciting things I thought about this week. So if you don't like where we're at, come back and check out our progress later, please. And the second thing we have is our ministries are under construction. God is not done with us yet. He's not done with you. He's not done with me. We might think, you know what, man, I've gone as far as I can go. As long as you're hanging out with Christ, he'll take you further. He'll do things in your life, even at an older age. I was thinking the other day, I'm expecting God to do some amazing things, to send a revival here to this church like we've never seen before. And I'm getting older. How many of you are getting older? How many of you are feeling older? I got to say this. Dawn and Linda, bless her heart, is down here working, and they was helping clean up. And I don't know, 4:30 or so, Dawn looked at me. Dawn's barely walking. He says, I'm done. I thought it was awesome. But you know, when we're younger, we can go all day long. But as we get older, Dee was up in the attic the other day doing some wiring. So he came back down. He says, well, and then I saw he disappeared. Because what happens is we get older, we just can't do as much with our bodies. But when you do what you can do, God blesses that, breathes on it, and then amazing things happen. Let me tell you what's going to happen. People's going to be talking. Oh, you got to see the church down there. It's looking really good. Because, you know, for the longest time, this was a place to eat at. Now we're eating again. We're just eating different food. The gospel of Jesus Christ, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. There's people doing little bitty pieces. And when you have a little bit of skin in the game, kind of makes you want to just be a little bit more proud, doesn't it? There's some things going on that when we pull down the plastic in a couple weeks, you're going to think, wow, that looks really good. And you know why it looks good? Because there's a team. Because God's not finished with us yet. And we're not doing it just to say we want a building to look nice. We're doing it because we know that guests are going to come. People are going to look at it. People say, man, this is kind of cool. And because we're so friendly and loving, they're going to want to stay. Amen? So, and the reason we're covering a lot of stuff up, because we can. See, I believe as our ministers are under construction, God desires, see, the ministries is part of the church. And as our ministries continue to develop, we'll develop what we call the power of the bench. Let me explain the power of the bench. If you ever watch football, sometimes in the late third quarter and the fourth quarter, a team that's really, really good, if they don't have replacement people, what happens is they get really tired and they turn around and lose the game at the end of the game. But by having the power of the bench, we have other people that want to step up and work. It refreshes people. We've got places right now that people can volunteer for and work at. You say, well, you know, I can't do this and I can't do that. All of us can do something. Amen. If you say, I just want to be a person that prays, we need prayer. Amen. So here's what Paul says is number one with the church. It's going to be up on the screen. It says, by God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege. Hear what that said? I've been given the of serving him by spreading this what? You know what it is? It's good news. When Jesus came back, it's good news. He made a way for all of us. So we're spreading that good news. He said, though I am the least, and this is Paul talking, that was incredible. He says, though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the, let's read that together, the endless treasures available to them in Christ. Endless treasures that are available to us in Christ. We have endless treasures. How many knows if you spend a lot of money, what happens to your bank account? How many knows at Christmas time? But you know what, though? With Christ, these things that we have are endless. You know, I just turned 59 years old. Next year, I'll turn 60, which is still very young. Which is very young. 70 is very young. 80 is very young. 90 is very young. It's very amen, yeah. But you know what, though? Here's the thing. I probably have more energy for ministry today than I've had for years. Because what happens is the Spirit of God begins to blow back on us, begins to breathe on us his power and his might. And when that happens in the church, because it's endless to every single one of us, we start to come alive in Christ. And the greatest way to win someone to the Lord is when you're talking to them about Jesus and the glory of the Lord is shining all over your face. What happens when someone says,
I'd like to invite you to church. You can come. We meet on Sundays. We 8:30, 10:15. We'll save you a seat. Bye.
But if we walk up to somebody and say, man, you know what? Hey, I want to invite you to my church. We all gather out. We hang around. We worship Jesus. It's a really cool place, especially when the air conditioners are on. It's awesome. But what happens is when your joy is infectious to others because we are the church. We are the church. We're the church of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing in the world. So check this out, this next part. See, God has new joys, new love for people, has a new love for your spouse. God has new joys for us. It's endless. His love for us is endless, and that love he can give to us for others is endless. See, so the next part says this, next scripture. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the what? Use the what? To display his wisdom. He uses the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety. You know why that says that? Because all of us are a little bit different. Some of you are just way different. in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. The last one. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. God had an eternal plan he carried out, and he's carried it out through the church to reach lost generations. You know, it's cool living in America, isn't it? Because in America, we have the gospel preached everywhere. But here's the problem. Even though the gospel is being preached everywhere, there's a lot of people not hearing that gospel message. So as we begin to pray and see God and love on people, it becomes infectious and it becomes alive all over again. I like this. The number one job of the church, get the message out. William Temple said this: the church is the only cooperative society in the world that exists for the benefits of its non-members. There's a lot of things that we do that you become a member of. We become a member of this, we become a member of that. When you become a member, you get all the privileges. Here's the cool thing in the kingdom of God. For anybody that calls upon the name of Jesus Christ, all the benefits are for them. They're yes and amen in Christ Jesus. He didn't say, well, you know, you got to make sure your dues are paid up. He didn't say, you know, you got to make sure that everything's just right and you come to every meeting. But God wants you in the house, because what happens in the house is joy is fulfilled in our lives, right? God is still working on us. We are under construction and we will be until the day of Jesus Christ. But we're going to continue working, right? So if you don't like where we're at, check back with our church later, because we're going to continue growing. We're going to continue building up leaders. Here's the last one. Our influence is under construction. Influence, I like this. The power or capacity of causing an effect in indirect or intangible ways to sway. Back when we were doing ministry in MENA, our children, we had a lady that wanted to run her children's ministry. And we had a building across the street that was a washateria. So we took that thing and gutted it, everything out of it, and remade it. We made a really cool-looking little children's room. And then with our youth department, we had an upstairs room, and we redid all that too. But here's what's amazing that happened. Because your influence can grow. Year after year, we would do these crazy events every summer called Catch the Wave. And we did those for 11 years, every year that we were there. And what happened because of influence, because of God's influence on us, every time we do a big event like that, everybody would call us and say, you know, when's your event? We want to be a part of it. Either they have to say this. If they're planning an event, they never wanted to plan an event on that day because there was so many students coming that they wouldn't have many students at their event because it was this huge event week after week. But see what happened? God made that influence grow. Our influence is still under construction. As we're kind, as we're polite, and we love on people, our influence continues to grow. And I love that. See, there's a place for you. You might think, you know, man, I just don't know. God loves you. Everybody do me a favor. Take your finger, stick it up in the air. Now take your finger and point it at yourself. And let's repeat together. God loves me. God doesn't make junk. God loves who you are. We're the church, and the church takes all kinds of different people to make the church up. I was thinking, when we were back here working, there was guys working on some cabinets, guys working on cement stuff, guys doing some other things behind the scenes that we can't tell you about yet, ladies doing this, ladies doing that, but it takes all kinds to make it happen. We have people that every Sunday morning, they're working with their children. We got people working in the nursery. It takes all different kinds to make things work. We become the church with all the different giftings that it has. And we all begin to use our giftings. It gets amazing what God's going to do. I love that. I've been watching my son-in-law, Marshall. I've been watching him grow. He's getting better as he stands up and talks in front of people, making announcements. He's always had a good spirit about him. He's always friendly. He's always kind. You hardly ever see Marshall get mad unless Holly does one of her little sneaker things. Let me tell you why we have influence. It's called the destiny of the seed. You know, a seed goes down the seed. For Jesus, he was that seed. He went down and he was buried for 3 days. And after 3 days, what happened? He came alive. You know, here in a little over a month, we're going to be celebrating Christmas. We're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. I love that. But I love this scripture too. So this is going to be up on the screen. John 12:24. The truth is, a kernel of wheat must be planted in the soil. Unless it dies, it will be alone, a single seed. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. You know, I find for even my life, 37 years of doing ministry, there's still times I have to die out to myself. God, here I am. I'm ready to serve you, but I want to die out to all my passions, all my stuff, and I want my passions to be your passions. I want my desires, God, to be your desires. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up here. Come up here, guys. Ladies. We are the church. We're working on the church. God's doing some amazing things. I want to end with this. Matthew 16:18. Now I say to you. Let's read that together. Now I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. His name is Peter, and he says, upon this rock, he's going to build his church. Because we're the church. And I know for every one of us, we all go through seasons. Some seasons, I'm excited about God. I have seasons where I'm just wore out. How many's had a season when you're wore out? But here's the great thing about the kingdom of God and about what God wants to do. See, the gates of hell are not going to conquer you. The enemy wants to lie to you and say, you know what, you're all washed up. You don't have nothing else to offer. He's a liar. He's the father. He's not just a liar. He's the father of lies. God says, you're not washed up. He's got greater things for you. And upon this rock, Peter, the fragment of the rock, but upon this massive stone that cannot be moved, Jesus. That's what the church is built. That's our foundation of our faith. Amen. And because our foundation of our faith is in Jesus and not in us, enemy doesn't stand a chance. With every head bowed, God, I pray this morning. God, as we're under construction as a body, God, as a building is under construction, God, you're always, always at work. You're always doing amazing things. So, God, I pray this morning. I pray for those this morning that might be thinking that, man, God, you're done with it. You're not done, God. You're still moving. Man, you're still able to bring joy and peace and happiness even when there's pain and suffering. So, God, I just pray. You begin to touch our lives, hearts, and souls. Remind us of your great joys. God, send your joy again. God, send new health, God. God, send new hope. Because, God, that's what you have for us. You have hope. Hope over dope any day. You have hope for us, God, that things are going to change. Things are going to get better. As we hang out with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, even though my body might be getting worse off, my joy can get greater. God, I pray this morning, strengthen our joys, our hearts for you. So I pray this morning, if there's someone here that says, man, I need to rededicate my life. If that's you, raise your hand. I'm going to pray. We're going to pray anyway. Let's all pray together. Jesus, thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your strength. God, this morning, here I am. I just give you me. Take me, God. Mold me. And make me who you want me to be. And I thank you. And I praise you for that. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Real quick before you guys leave this morning, there's a sign up back there for the Teen Challenge Banquet. Be thinking about getting ready because we're going to have our Christmas banquet at OT's coming up real soon. But all that stuff's in the bulletin, so watch it. If anybody wants to come down this